We're talking this month about outreach, and we're taking a very simple view. We're looking at the beginning of this series, we're looking at just some fundamental elements of what is asked of us as Christians and how those elements will naturally reach out. They will naturally be acts of reaching out. It'll naturally be outreach when we are the things that Jesus asks us to be or commands us to be. Last week we talked about how we are the light of the world and we follow in his footsteps, and how simply being the light is outreach. Being the light reaches out to the world around us. That is a natural result of outreach. And so in that same thought process, we're looking at a different subject today, and that is about bearing fruit. Reaching out simply is a byproduct of bearing fruit as a Christian, something that every one of us are asked to do. And I think it's just amazing, this subject of outreach. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. Sometimes we get overburdened and say, well, I'm not an extrovert, or, you know, I'm an INFJ instead of an ENTP, you know, on the Myers-Briggs, you know, or I fit in this quadrant. You know, we have all sorts of different personalities. And I think it's beautiful, it's marvelous, it's amazing that God has made outreach actually very simple. And if we are just what he's asked us to be, we will reach out to people. We will make an effect. Ripples will be made from our lives as we're the light and as we bear fruit. So we're going to be looking at various scriptures today that refer to this idea of fruit and bearing crops for the kingdom. So we're going first to John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus says, truly, truly, and I don't know about you guys, but I perk up when I hear Jesus say truly, truly, or in the old version, verily, verily, you know, since we did a few hymns today, I guess I can bring that in. Verily, verily, truly I say to you. So Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears what? Much fruit. I want you to notice the scriptures that we're looking at, and there's a handful of other ones where it's not just fruit. We're not just asked to do some or a little or you know, just a moderate amount. When Jesus is asking for fruit, he's asking for much fruit. Everyone say much fruit. So bearing fruit, let's start taking some notes here. The seed must die to bring life. The seed must die to bring life. Unless a seed dies, falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, is what Jesus says. With God, life comes from death. We die to ourselves. Last week, we looked at a verse in Romans chapter 6 about baptism. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his what? Death. We were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's the idea. That is the picture of a seed dying and coming forward to bring life. We died to ourselves as Christians. When we were baptized into Christ, we died to our old self, and we were brought to life, a new life in Christ, made in the likeness of Jesus himself. A seed must die to bring life. I want us to revisit that day in our mind. If you couldn't just take a moment, for some of you it's going to be very recent, but take a moment and go back to that day when you were baptized into Christ, when you gave your life to him. That day of surrender, that day of rebirth, that day when you were made new, that day when you had given everything of who you were to God, when you died to yourself. That day when we were imbued by God's Holy Spirit with a special gift or special gifts, charismatic gifts from God, so that we can be part of his body. You died. I died. We died. Anyone who is a Christian, Christians die. That's how we begin our journey. The seed dies to bring life. Okay, if this is all, if you're stuck there, if you didn't die to be brought to life, you're missing out on it. The death process was so that we would bring life, so that we would bring much fruit. A seed must die in order to bring much fruit. So if you're not bringing much fruit, really, did you just die? We were raised to life to bring fruit, to bring life. We need to remember that. That's the purpose. That's the goal, is to bear much fruit. Then we're going to bounce over to another agricultural parallel that Jesus makes in his teachings. And this is in John chapter 15, a passage a lot of you will be familiar with. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower, or the gardener in other versions. So let's write this down. The branch must stay connected to bear much fruit. We're going to be getting to that a little later in that passage. Let's write that down as a general thought. Now I want to come back to this idea of Jesus being the true vine. So the branch must stay connected to bear much fruit. See, our fruit bearing is directly related to our connectivity to Jesus. Jesus says he is the true vine. He is the true vine. So what other vines are there out there? When this was written, when Jesus was sharing this, the best understanding of this is that Jesus was referring to Israel, the old vine that was corrupt and messed up and different things there. And so he says, I am the true vine. I want to take a little liberty here, a little artistic freedom, if I may, and ask about some other vines. I mean, Israel's definitely the one intact here as far as exegesis goes. But Jesus is a true vine. Are there other vines? Are there other vines that we have in our life? Are there other things that challenge us that we feel led and drawn to connect to as our vine? I mean, think about maybe work, maybe the work vine. Maybe we connect to the work vine for a sense of purpose as a means to make a living. We connect to the money vine. We connect to the money vine for security, to get more stuff. Sometimes we connect to the money vine to feel some sort of worth or value, because if we have a lot of money, then we must be worth something. We connect to the entertainment vine to find pleasure and enjoyment in life. And those things, you know, money and the work and entertainment, those things are not bad things for our life. But when the danger comes in, what happens is when they become the vine and Jesus is not. Work and money and entertainment, pleasure, those should be extensions, pieces of your branch that are parts of you, but they should never be the vine that you branch off of. Am I making sense? See, to go to work and to get a feeling of accomplishment from the things we do, to get a feeling of purpose, there's nothing wrong with that, but ultimately, the vine that gives us meaning and purpose is not the work vine, but it is Jesus. That's where we find purpose and meaning from. Work is good, work is healthy, enjoying your work and finding satisfaction in your work is good, but we cannot connect to work in place of Jesus. We manage our money. We have, you know, good stewardship is important. We know that generosity is very important, to be generous with the money we have. To plan for a financial future is smart. That's wise. But ultimately, the vine that gives us security and stability is not the money vine. It's Jesus. We can't let the money vine take Jesus' place. Money itself is not bad or evil. It can be the root of all kinds of evil. But in itself is not. But it is when it becomes the vine in our life. We cannot connect to money in place of Jesus. Entertainment is not a bad thing. Watching the Bengals tomorrow night, I hope, is not a bad thing. I hope it's a good thing. Hooday. I hope we see a win. That would be great. But watching the Bengals tomorrow night, that's not a bad thing. Playing around the golf, that's not bad. It's not bad to cuddle up with a good book and a cup of hot chocolate or watching a movie or your favorite show. But ultimately, the vine that gives us pleasure and enjoyment in life, satisfaction in life, is not the entertainment vine. It is Jesus. We cannot connect to entertainment in place of Jesus. Jesus is the true vine. There are other vines out there. There are other things that we can connect to, but Jesus is the true vine. The most important vine. The vine that we should be connected to first and only. As branches. Jesus continues, he says, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. We'll come back to that in a moment. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. So you will be pruned. And this is like the initial dying process. Jesus clarifies that it's not that in a moment. But this idea of being pruned, it's the idea that branches will lose parts of yourself that detract from bearing fruit. because bearing fruit is the goal. That's the goal, is to bear much fruit. A grapevine left to itself would just grow wild. And for us, in Jesus' audience there, they would have completely understood this. It was a very common practice to have a vineyard, to grow grapes, and to understand the art of pruning. If a grapevine is left to itself, it'll just grow wild because it's in survival mode. You take over things. You conquer things. You hold on to things. It's security. It's self-preservation. If a grapevine is going to bear grapes, it needs a gardener. It needs a vine dresser, someone to come in and care for it. I love this connection that Jesus made, that God made when he created the grapevine. And then Jesus brings it to life here in John chapter 15, saying, guys, we need this connection. The gardener prunes. See, all this energy that goes into a grapevine extending out and getting territory, it spends its energy doing that. And really, a grapevine left on its own will not bear a whole lot of grapes. It will not bear a whole lot of fruit. When the gardener trims it, it's just called pruning, skillfully trims it and prunes in the right places and controls it, then the grapevine will then refocus its energy, not towards expanding and grabbing a hold of territory, but it'll focus its energy towards bearing fruit. And not just fruit. What? Much fruit. That's pruning. I wonder how much energy we spend on expanding our territory. How much energy do we spend on self-preservation when really these are the things, the survival mode that we get in, these things that we grab a hold of, these are things that we really need to just be trusting God in. And those are the things that I see most in my life, and I think it's true for a lot of us. Those are the things we really see him pruning back the most. Look, leave this alone. Don't hold on to that so hard. Trust me, I got this. Don't worry about this. I got this. Let me prune you back. Let me get rid of these things that are detracting from fruit. And you focus on bearing fruit for me. I'll take care of these things. How much are we like this, you know? And how little fruit do we have as a result of expending so much energy in survival mode or takeover mode, self-preservation mode, when really our goal is to bear fruit, much fruit, for the pleasure of the gardener instead of the expansion of our own feelings of security. So if you're connected to the vine, you will be pruned. That is a process, and we need to welcome that. That's very healthy for us. He continues in verse 3, he says, you've already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. And so here's where he says, you're already clean. He reminds the disciples, they've already gone through this death and rebirth process. You've already died. You're not the seed anymore. You're a branch now. You're a branch connected to the vine. You died once. You've been brought to life by God. This pruning process is not this again. You're still living, you're alive, you're bearing fruit. He's just going to cut off certain pieces that aren't healthy, that aren't good, that are detracting from that. So Jesus, I think it's really neat that Jesus wants to make it clear, hey, this is a different type of thing, this pruning process, than the initial dying and rebirth process. You've already died, you've already been born, but you're going to be pruned. You're going to have a constant trimming back, a constant attention by the gardener or by the vine grower. Verse 4, he says, abide in me. It's a great word, abide in me, as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Here's that definition that I described earlier. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear what? Much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So the first part of that, Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in Jesus. Live in him. Find your life in him. He's the vine. You are the branches. Find your life in him. Find your sustenance from him. From him being connected to God and that root base. That's where we find our everything, our security, our enjoyment for life, our meaning and purpose, our sense of value. Live in him, abide in him, and you will bear fruit, not just fruit, but much fruit. Otherwise, you risk being removed from the vine. And these are Jesus' words, not mine. He's very clear in this passage. And I think a lot of us kind of look over this because I don't think we take the fruit-bearing business as seriously as we should. He says, here's what you're for. Here's what you're to do. You are to bear fruit, not just fruit, much fruit. Here's some things that I'm going to help you with. God's going to help you with. Here's some guidance. Here's what you're to do. You got to die first, be reborn. You have to make sure that he's pruning you. You have to stay in him, abide in him. He's the vine. Here's your roots. We're going to be talking about soil in a minute. But all of this, and you bear much fruit. That's the goal. The goal is bearing much fruit. And sometimes I don't think we take that seriously enough. Jesus here makes it very clear, if you're not bearing fruit, a branch that doesn't bear fruit, it is cut off, it's thrown away and burned. Guys, we cannot get too comfortable with just sitting on the vine. Because if that's all we do, really all we did was die as a seed. The purpose of dying as a seed was to be brought to life, to bear much fruit. And I think we need to take this business of bearing fruit more seriously because Jesus obviously takes it very seriously. Bearing fruit, bearing much fruit is the goal. If you're bearing fruit, good. Keep it up. If you aren't, then you should be afraid. It's that big of a deal. He continues a little further down. He talks about one of the core pieces of the fruit, or core elements of the fruit. I don't want to say pieces of the fruit that we think of. So love. Love is the core fruit that we bear. Verse 12. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends, for one's friends. We show evidence of being on the vine by how we treat other Christians. When we talk about being the fruit, and I mentioned earlier that being the fruit is a natural, the result is naturally to outreach. It will be a natural source of outreach. One of the best ways that we can reach out to those outside of Christ who don't know Christ is to show them how much we love each other. The advertisement business has discovered the effectiveness of this. And it's what they do, isn't it? Isn't that what ads do when we see ads? They present a preferred environment, a preferred life situation. Wouldn't you be happier if this were your life? Wouldn't you feel better if this were the way you lived? Wouldn't you feel like you had more value if this is what you looked like? Wouldn't you be more successful if this were your life situation? Well, we can help you attain that for just 4 easy payments, $19.95, right? That's what advertisements do. If you just watch advertisements, that's really what they're doing, is they're saying, here is a preferred life situation. And Jesus, he had the market on this thousands of years ago. He said, guys, you love each other. Here's the fruit of each other. You love each other, the fruit of love for each other. And when people see that, they're going to see that's a desired life situation. See, when the church, and not just us, but capital C, when the church at large is lacking in the loving each other category, then outsiders, people who don't know Christ, they look at the church, not Jesus, they look at the church and they say, that's not a life situation that I really want to be involved in. That doesn't look healthy. That doesn't look enjoyable. That doesn't look like it's going to be fulfilling. It looks like it's going to kind of drain my energy out. Church, we can't do that. And the simplicity of it is, bear fruit, and here's one key fruit, is to love each other, to just love each other. Because then when outsiders see the church loving each other and caring for each other, they're going to see a life situation that's desirable. They're going to say, you know what, I don't know exactly what all that's about, but I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of that. I want to be on the vine, because obviously the vine is a better place to be than where I am. When we love each other, they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes. How many of you guys just sung the rest of that in your head? So we love each other. So bear the fruit of loving each other. And then there's another agricultural connection that Jesus makes. And this is about the soil. And this is another famous passage that a lot of you guys are going to recognize. He talks about our soil. He talks about a farmer who sows a seed. Listen. Once again, another one of those words where Jesus is, Hey, listen, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Some fell on the rocky places where it didn't have much soil and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then the sun came up. No, I'm not going to do the sun. That would be too cheesy. The plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Still other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil and it came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30 and some 60 and some 100 times. Say 30. Say 60. Say 100 times. So let's write this down. The soil must be good to produce a healthy crop. The soil must be good to produce a healthy crop. Bearing fruit is the measured result of how receptive our hearts are to God's truth and his teachings. The fruit is the evidence of how effective God's word has been on our hearts. Healthy things grow. That's what healthy things do. Unhealthy things die. Healthy things grow. Healthy fruit trees bear what? Fruits. You must have good soil to bear good fruit, to produce a good crop. As you can find yourself, you can be the path. I think sometimes we do. We find ourselves as a path. Paths are hard because, why are paths hard? Because they get walked on. They get trampled on. You know what? Sometimes in life, people are going to walk on you. People are going to trample over you. You have to battle against that. You have to resist that. It's a conscious effort to resist that and say, you know what? I'm not going to be hardened by this person's actions towards me. I'm not going to be hardened by this bullying at school or this bullying at work even. I'm not going to let the bitterness of brutal people keep God's word from finding its root in my heart. I'm going to guard the soil. See, we can be rocks. We can find ourselves in that situation where we spring up with a shallow root base. We need to cultivate the soil to make sure that we grow deep roots. Use the good times. Use the peaceful times in your walk to grow deep roots. Too many times I think we put it on cruise control when things are good, when things are peaceful. And then when tough times come up, you know, when the sun comes up, we're scorched and we wither because we didn't take those times to prepare for the difficult times that were coming. So use the seasons in your life that are good to grow and deepen your relationship with God. Don't cruise through those things, to those times. Use those times because the scorching sun of troubled times will come up over the horizon of your life from time to time, and you need to be prepared for it. We can be among thorns sometimes, can't we? Jesus explains this parable, and he tells us that the worries of this life are the thorns. They choke us out. Money worries will not grow, money worries will not grow to cut off your oxygen supply if you don't let them grow in your soil. Health concerns, they will come up, but don't give them the ability to choke out the effectiveness of God's word in your life because you're worrying about them. Political worries, we've seen that, haven't we? I don't think we've seen the end of it either. Political worries, worrying about your children, worrying about your parents, worrying about clowns. You know, whatever it is, there are a number of different thorn bushes that can grow in your soil, and you need to be aware of those. And you need to know they can choke out the effectiveness of God's word in my life. They will choke you out. It will cut off the life-giving oxygen supply of God's word to your spiritual health. And we can't let that happen. We have to be good soil, church. We have to be good soil. If we're going to be fruit bearers, if we're going to produce a crop of what? 30, 60, 100 times. If we're going to produce a crop that multiplies, we have to be good soil. And we have to watch that. We have to cultivate that. We need to focus on health because healthy things will grow. Healthy fruit trees will produce fruit, much fruit. And that's the goal. Bearing much fruit, that's the goal. because fruit will reach out. As we bear fruit, it will outreach. The idea of this whole sower and the seed and everything, when the plant finally comes up, when the tree finally comes up, is it just one? No, that's why I had you guys repeat that part of the passage for me. It's not just one. It multiplies, doesn't it? It doesn't even work in addition. God works in multiplication. Amen? It doesn't just produce one. When you have good soil and you come up and you're bearing fruit, it multiplies. It reproduces. That is outreach. That is the act of reaching out. It will multiply 30, 60, even 100 times. Let's shift gears to another topic here real quick. Let's write this down. Bearing good fruit is a treasure of the heart issue. Bearing good fruit is a treasure of the heart issue. Patty, I'm going to let them write that down so we won't have the Luke passage on the screen. But fruit is the evidence of the hidden treasure in your heart. In Luke chapter 6, he records Jesus saying there that no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by his own fruit. You look at an apple tree and say, well, that's an apple tree. How do you know? It's got apples. If it doesn't have apples, you have to be like some tree genius and know what the leaves are shaped like and the, you know. No, but any guy, you know, apple trees for dummies. Any one of us can look at a tree and say, you know what, that's an apple tree because it has apples on it. If it doesn't have apples on it, a lot of us wouldn't know what kind of tree it was. We just think it's just a regular old tree. But if it's got apples on it, we look and say, you know what, that's got apples. It's got oranges on it. And you know what, that's got oranges. My wife and I were talking the other day about the garden and from Adam and Eve to Noah that they just ate the vegetables and fruits. And you guys know I'm very carnivorous. I love my meat. So I said, well, maybe they had a meat tree somewhere, you know, before they killed animals. And they, that was a joke. But you look at a tree and you know the tree by its fruit, what comes off of it. And Jesus says here, he's going to continue and talk about what comes off the tree really has its roots in the heart. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his what? In his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What you hold treasure in this little box that we call our heart, what you hold treasure in that treasure box of your heart will be what your fruit looks like, whether that's good or bad. That will be where your fruit comes from. So what treasure is stored up in your heart? I hope it's Jesus. I hope it's the good news of the gospel of grace and mercy. I hope it's the love of God stored up in your hearts. I hope it's the amazing presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I hope it's the priceless word of God in your life, in your heart. I hope that's what you treasure in your heart. What treasure is stored up in your heart? What things are most valuable to you? And you know how you can tell, you know, the fruit off your tree, you can tell by looking at where you spend your fixed resources, things that you just have a little bit of, because you have to make choices. Where am I going to spend it? Like money. Money's a fixed resource. You only have so much. There's not a money tree. That would be nice. So look at your checkbook. Look online at your bank statement, because where you spend your money, that's where your heart is. Where you spend that fixed resource, that's what's held treasure. That's what's held as treasure in your heart. Time is a fixed resource. We have 24 hours in a day. Where you spend your time tells you that fruit of time, that tells you what's stored up in your heart. What you treasure the most, that's where you're going to spend your time in. That's where you're going to spend your time doing. What do you spend your emotional and mental energy on? What's on your mind constantly? You know, when your brain just goes to default, what do you start thinking about? That reveals what's in your heart. That's fruit on your tree that says, this is what's in the treasure box of my heart. What do your feelings move to? What's, you know, when you have a chance, or what dominates your emotional makeup of who you are, that reveals the treasure in your heart. See, bearing fruit is a treasure of the heart issue. Paul talks about bearing fruit. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. It's like Revelation, singular. Fruit of the Spirit. If you want, you want healthy soil, you want to keep bad things out of your life, out of your soil, so that you can bear much fruit. You want to bear good fruit so you keep the things in your heart pure and good, and the treasure in your heart then is going to overflow and be what becomes the fruit that hangs on your tree. Paul says we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Backing up a little bit before the fruit of the Spirit passage, he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your own good intentions. And Paul gives a list of things that are evidence of the sinful nature controlling you, and then he goes into a list of things that are evidence of the Holy Spirit controlling you. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy. Let's go back. I want you guys to read these nine with me. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, when God has full influence over my mind, certain qualities will be naturally present. Certain qualities will be naturally present when I'm keeping in step with the Spirit, when the Spirit has control over my mind. And it's represented by this list of what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to rate these qualities in your life. 1 through 9, strongest to weakest. Yes, I said weakest. I'm not always politically correct. I'm not often politically. Okay, I'm seldom. Ever? Am I ever politically correct? The weakest to the strongest, or the strongest to the weakest. 1 being the strongest, 9 being the weakest. Best to worst. The one you're great at and the one you're awful at. Oh, that was too far. You get the picture, though. And that will show you where you need to let God have more access to your heart. You'll see areas that are where you're most connected to the vine and areas where you're least connected to the vine. You'll see the results of good soil and what that's cultivated in your life, the good fruit that's brought, but you also see the results of having of being a bitter path, a hardened heart, or having a shallow root system, or allowing the thorns of worry to grow in your soil. If you show these qualities of the Spirit, if you keep in step with the Spirit, you will represent God. You will follow in the example of Jesus. And that kind of living, that reaches out to others naturally. It's not an effort then. It's just natural. It's who you are. These qualities, that's who I am because I'm connected to the vine. I'm connected to Jesus, and I'm really concerned about my soil, and I'm making sure that nothing stands in the way of this. And the treasure of my heart is based in God, and that's what occupies and dominates what I treasure most. And it reflects through this fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit then is seen by everyone that you come into contact with. And that's natural outreach. Outreach, because you're simply a tree that bears fruit, much fruit, that attracts people not to you, but the Spirit inside you, to the Jesus you call Lord, to the God you call Father. Bearing fruit is the goal. Let's write that down. In fact, what I want you to do, I want you to put a little indention there. I want you to add in there, bearing much fruit is the goal. Seed must die to bring life. You died with the purpose of being full of life, bearing much fruit. The branch must stay connected to the vine in order to bear much fruit. The soil must be good in order to produce a healthy crop that multiplies. Bearing fruit is a treasure of the heart issue. And when God has full influence over my mind, certain qualities will be naturally present. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bearing the fruit.